Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely wonderful day today. A lot of stuff going down here at Healthmaster, staying busy as always. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Today's beautiful. I mean, we've got a partially clear sky out there, and so the wind is kind of slow, and so hopefully we won't have any of our afternoon toad strangler thunderstorms. So it's a great day out here today at Health Masters, and we're happy to be here with you. Of course, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Whether or not it's cloudy, thunderstorms, or whatever, it's still God's day. And so we're going to rejoice in it. Delight in the things of the Lord is what I've got to say. Paul Craig Roberts wrote a very interesting article about the tariffs that now we're basically consuming the news with as far as with China. And I'm going to read you part of it, and I want to kind of put my spin on it. He says, wherever I look at U.S. policy, foreign or domestic, I only see insanity, ignorance, and incompetence. Now I'm going to add a few more things. I'm going to add avarice, greed, population control, and destruction of the United States, right? He goes, take the issue on tariffs, which Trump has mistakenly approached to bring the jobs back home. The tariff solution overlooks that offshore U.S. production counts as imports when U.S. firms bring their goods back into the U.S. to be marketed. Let me give you an example. When Chevrolet basically goes over to China, or any other big company goes to China, and they bring it back into the United States from that particular country they're in, it counts as an import. So that's part of the giant trade deficit we're having. We've taken the jobs from Americans and we've given them to the Chinese. It says the Chinese didn't steal American jobs by selling below U.S. cost. The jobs are taken to China by U.S. greedy, global-owned corporations that are controlled by the international banking cartels, adding all that, along with the technology and business know-how, for the sole reason of maximizing U.S. corporate profits. Again, greed and avarice. Labor made as productive as U.S. labor by offshore U.S. capital, technology, and business know-how could have hired at a much less cost in China and elsewhere in Asia due to the enormous excess supply of labor that overhangs Asia markets. In other words, there's a lot more people who want a job in Asia and they'll work for next to nothing, and so it's cheaper for them to go ahead and have the stuff made over there. Because the tariffs fall on American goods produced offshore by Americans, forms are still in America. For example, on May 13th, the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative released a list of Chinese products subject to 25% duty. The list includes cell phones, footwear, and textiles. Now, we're talking Apple phones, and we're talking Nike shoes. So all of these things are going to be coming back, and we, the American population, are going to be paying for the extra cost of these products. The only way to bring home the offshore American jobs is to change the way the U.S. corporations are taxed. No, it does not mean lower corporate taxes. The way to do it is to tax corporations on the basis of the geographical location in which they add value to their products. In other words, where the product's made. If the companies are made in China, you tax them 25 or 30 or 40, 50%. Now they're not going to do that anymore. They're going to bring the products back to the United States. But why hasn't that happened? Why haven't we done this? Why in the world are we basically allowing all of this stuff to be taken to other worlds? Okay. It has nothing to do with China. Okay, China's being blamed not because the industry produces cheaper than our industry, but as a scapegoat to hide the view that the U.S., the fact that the U.S. global corporation international banking cartels alone are the cause of the most of the loss of American jobs. Tariffs cannot bring back the jobs because the jobs are already outsourced. And then he goes on to say that he tried to go to the Congress about this back in 2004 about what was going on, and they were shut down. He goes, it did no good. He goes, the greedy, grasping capitalists silenced every member of Congress, every economist, every financial journalist, and the right and left wings. The consequence is that the United States, once an opportunity society, is now being polarized between a tiny, immensely wealthy billionaire class, this is the international banking cartels and the oligarchs that control the corporations, I'm adding that, and the workforce, that would be the rest of us, in debt, and many of us are having to survive on two or more part-time jobs with no benefits. The Trump regime is now blaming this catastrophe on China, and war could result. Guys, we've got an active war with these tariffs and all of these sanctions that we're putting on all these countries around the world already, and it's because of the greedy industrialist capitalist. Remember, J.B. Morgan came to Nikola Tesla back in the early 1900s after Tesla had developed basically alternating current and really should have put Edison out of business and had a huge contract signed with Westinghouse as far as generation facilities in which they literally owed him billions of dollars in electricity that had been produced, because he was getting a percentage of all of the electricity that was being produced. Tesla, they owed it to Tesla, and Tesla tore up his contract with Westinghouse because Westinghouse was under pressure by J.P. Morgan and the Rothschild banking cartels to make Tesla do this, and he did. And then Morgan turned right back around and bought up 51% of Tesla, of the corporation, of the man, of his inventions, of his patents. And then when he developed the Wharton-Cliffe Tower to basically give us free energy from the ether, from the atmosphere, and could transmit free energy anywhere on the planet and could have cars and everything else run off these energies that were being produced by the planet through the electromagnetic vortices that are around the planet, when the Rothschilds found out, when Morgan found out that he could not take that money and charge the people for free, he shut the whole thing down. And so Tesla's technology was put on the back shelf 100 years ago. We never had to go to fossil fuels. It never had to happen. It was a complete and total lie about fossil fuels. It never, ever had to happen. Now, the Earth continually makes fossil fuels, and they're not really fossil fuels. They're made from water being moved through vortices in the Earth at over 200 meters per second, which takes that normal water and transmutes it, according to the research scientists that I've read, and they create this type of diesel fuel, which done over time creates oil. The oil produces its own water by the combination of hydrogen and oxygen in the inside of the Earth and under the mantle. It produces huge, huge reservoirs of water that are pushed to the surface, and it also produces its own oil. The Earth is pretty much a self-sustaining ecosystem, you know, as long as we don't mess with it and screw around with it and start fracking it and all kinds of the crazy nut stuff that we do to it. But the reality is this. The technology was hidden. Now, when Morgan died, J.P. Morgan died. Oh, by the way, he was also involved in the sinking of the Titanic. I just thought I'd mention that to you. And also the industrialists who did not want to have the Federal Reserve System put into the United States because of what it would do and enslave the country. So most of those guys, including the guy, John Philip Astor, who basically formed the St. Regis Hotel in New York and owned at one time a large percentage of downtown New York. He was on the ship, the Titanic, along with other industrialists when it was sunk by a Jesuit captain and sent to the bottom of the ocean. And it was intentionally, in my opinion, and a lot of historians believe this now too, run into the iceberg on purpose to be sunk. And then, of course, they had the first time in maritime naval history where lifeboats were being given, taken off the boat, which were pretty much empty, and women and children had to go first. The women and children refused to go without their husbands, and so they were launching lifeboats empty while the people sat on the ship and drowned, including Astor and several other industrialists who opposed the formation of the Federal Reserve Bank. And now you guys say to me, well, I've never heard that before. Okay, just look it up in the history books. If you don't agree with it, that's okay. The sinking of that Titanic in a full moonlit evening, running full speed, full 26, 27, 28 knots, whatever that ship could do, through an iceberg field, whatever. The captain retiring, the captain being a Jesuit, I mean, they had just met in Rome. Remember, the Rothschild Bank controls Rome because the Rothschild bankers are the bankers for the Vatican. And also they meet with the Pope or meet in Rome, and all of a sudden, and by the way, J.P. Morgan, he was supposed to be on that boat coming back on the Titanic, and he suddenly sent a little telegram at the last minute that says, oh, so sorry. Sorry I can't make it. Not going on that ship. You guys have fun with the maiden voyage of the Titanic. That was the end of that. And then when Morgan died, they found out that he was pretty much lock, stock, owned and controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel, and he was another cutout. This is how it works. It's always these people. It's the same guys. It's the same greedy international banking cartels that control the international crime networks. The Italian mafia, the American mafia, the Irish mafia, the Jewish mafia, the Russian mafia. All of these different crime cartels are organized and controlled through these families, these bloodline families, who control the distribution of the goods, the services, and the drugs throughout the world and own 95% of corporate America through their corporations, interlocking corporate directorships, and straight out stock purchases. This is who these guys are. And whenever you give a corporation the ability to manufacture fiat currency, like the Federal Reserve Bank does, and proclaim its value, make money out of nothing, and basically it's worth $1,000 or $1 million or $1 billion, and they can buy up all the real assets with their funny money, this is what happens. Same thing happened with the Roman Empire. Remember Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar was assassinated after he declared he was no longer going to have the money changers do their fractional reserve banking in Rome, and Rome was going to start printing its own currency. We always know what happened to Caesar, and after that, the Roman Empire went into basically into the downfall. The same thing. The same group of people, through their Babylonian money magic, have done this and done this and done this for thousands upon thousands of years, at least 4,000 years of recorded history with the money. It's the same group. It's always the same group. And it's sad to me that nobody else talks about this as far as the way we talk about it on the show. It's frustrating because this is the group of people, these Luciferians, the synagogue of Satan, these Kabbalists, these Druids, like Winston Churchill was a Druid. In fact, look up under Druids and it'll say one of their most notable members of the Druid Society was Winston Churchill. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that Dresden, the bombing of Dresden, with up to, some people say 100,000 dead, some say 150, some say, 500,000 dead. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that Dresden was a Druid sacrifice, just like 9/11 was. Blood sacrifice. Guys, these puppies are some sickos. I mean, these are some sick puppies. And you said we got to call these people out for who they are. Oh, real quick, I want to make this announcement on the show today. Austin and I were going over the schedule. And quite frankly, we got a bunch of stuff scheduled this month. We thought we could squeak in this trip to New York City with Hagman and go on up there and support what's going on up there as far as this, this drive through the town of Chappaqua. And our schedule's not going to permit it. So I apologize if we have anybody going up there to meet us. I profusely apologize. And we'll make it another time. We and Austin and Doug, and we can bring multiple patriots like Dave Hodges and Sheila and a bunch of other people to speak here in Central Florida, in Orlando. We'll bring all of you down here and basically get to meet everybody at that point. But we are planning on going to the conference in Missouri with Steve Quayle this fall. And he came on, he promoted that last year, and we are planning on doing that. Austin, what do you think about all the stuff about the corporations and the greed and the tariffs and Trump and Iran and all of the stuff that's happening right now? What's your take on this, bud?
Well, there's no doubt about it. The whole thing, a lot of this is not, we're not being told the whole truth and the whole aspect of what's going on. Everybody goes, well, we definitely need to have more tariffs on China, which, and quite frankly, this should never even have been a discussion to begin with, because any of the stuff that we were getting from China to begin with should have already had these massive tariffs on it from the very start. Again, like Dad said, when you allow companies like Apple to produce 99% of their products in China and do hundreds of billions of dollars in sales over the last decade, and then turn around and say, well, you can't do that anymore, now we're going to put massive tariffs on the product, you can't just put tariffs on stuff and expect things to work out correctly. You have to incentivize individuals and businesses to have more funds, more product, more production in the United States. So Dad laid that out perfectly. But one thing I wanted to add in on top of this, understand who we're dealing with the Chinese Communist government. A lot of discussions over China don't ever get brought up around who they really are. The ruling Chinese Communist Party now has started supervising a 5-year plan to make Christianity compatible with their socialist communist agenda, including retranslations and rewrites of part of the Bible. A prominent religious figure activist has now come out now and said, as the popularity of Christianity continues to grow in China, threatening the communist government, a new state translation of the Bible will establish a correct understanding of the text, they have now stated. The Communist Party has already arrested numerous pastors, destroyed churches. I've talked about this far in detail now. They said, so far, it is no longer possible to buy a copy of the Bible online in China. Existing copies of the Bible are being confiscated whenever the authorities come across them, and there are new versions that now basically are starting to pop up all over the place. What's going on now is the crackdown on Christianity has seen so many house churches demolished, people arrested, church buildings are completely torn down, never to be seen again, and people disappeared, never to be seen again. This is what goes on in a communist dictatorship. This is why I've been so active in the last couple of years of trying to stay away from buying items from China. Now, it's very difficult to do. I will say that. Trying to buy everything 100% made in the United States is next to impossible right now, as we have given so much of our contracts and so much of our manufacturing over to China because it simply is cheaper. But again, I always implore people, do the best you can to do the research, especially on big purchases or repeat purchases. Do your research on what you're buying, who you're buying from, what they stand for, where they're getting their products from. And again, like I said, I understand there's no way that you can really go 100% American American-made on everything you buy all the time, especially if you're in a business, because sometimes you got to buy stuff that comes from overseas. I fully get that. But doing the best you can to vote with your dollars and not support, A, a Chinese communist government, and B, get prepared for what's about to happen, because remember, as Dad just said, the fall of the United States is going to happen from an economical standpoint first. A lot of people think we're going to have this massive invasion or this massive civil war that sparks out of nowhere, or, you know, we've got this left-right paradigm that's going to spark a civil war. I don't doubt that that's probably going to escalate in the future. But in every case, pretty much, if you do your research, in pretty much almost every case, with a major empire that falls, major empires, that was just talking about with Rome, all these empires almost always start financially. They almost always have an economic financial collapse, and in most cases, it's because the bankers in control of the money pull the strings out, pull the carpet out, and drop everything on its butt because they no longer are getting what they want, or it's not financially prudent anymore to be wrapped up in this empire, and it's time to crash it and build a new one. As Dad so succinctly put it, this has been going on for thousands of years. You have to do your research and realize these guys are the same ones that do it over and over and over generationally. They control the money. They manipulate the markets. They manipulate the cash. They have their money magic, which he refers to. And what Dad says that all the time is it's money magicianry. It's magic. It's complete manipulation of currency. We've seen it start off with the Federal Reserve in 1913. We've seen it done now with the fractional reserve currency. A lot of people don't realize if you put your money in a savings account or a money market account or something like that in the bank has the ability to loan 40 to 1 on that money that you put in there. So if you've saved up your whole life and you have $1 million in your savings account, that bank can loan $40 million off your $1 million you have in actual reserve cash that you have deposited into your safety account. Account in the bank. $40 million. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that $40 million they loan out is probably going to be on mortgages, on other types of security. So they're probably going to yield anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5 to 6% on that $40 million. So you can see real quick how the hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest that they can accrue every single month off money that they don't even have based off $1 million that you deposited in your account. It's money magic. It doesn't exist. The money's not real. It's not there. They make it out of thin air. There's no inventory. There's no cost of goods sold. There's no production. There's no inventory carrying cost. There's no margins. There's nothing. They take your money and can loan 40 to 1 on it and make hundreds of thousands and then millions of dollars in interest off that money that they loan out simply based on that $1 million in savings that you've accrued over the last 40, 50, 60 years of your life. They can do that on it. That is what we refer to as money magic. They don't have to do anything. There is nothing there. It's just, oh, boop, we just invented more digits. Oh, we just added more zeros, and then we loan it out. That is what they have done, and they have done it for years. That's why it refers to in the Bible when Jesus talks about unjust scales. A lot of people don't really think about that topic. They say unjust scales. Well, yeah, it's a scale. It's on this and some of that. No, what they did was the money changers were constantly tweaking their scales. So if they had a gram, you put a gram weight on it, it wouldn't come up as a gram. It would come up as 0.9 grams, and they would slowly teeter as the scale went up. So if you put 10 grams on it, they'd skimp you an entire gram. So instead of being 10 grams, it would show 9 grams. They would do this all the time, the money changers would, to skim the money. Not because they were already not making enough money on their transaction fees that they had back then. All the transaction fees, all the stuff we see now, this is nothing new. They did all that before. But they would skimp the scales and basically make them unjust scales. They weren't accurate. And then what they started doing was they started cutting the gold. They wouldn't have a 24-karat gold coin anymore. They'd start cutting it with copper, and they'd start cutting it with silver. And that's where the whole concept of different carats came in with gold, and it came down to 18 carats, 14 carats, 10 carats. Now, there's nothing wrong with that to make the gold harder if you understand what you're getting. The problem is when they started doing that, they never bothered to tell anybody that. They would just cut the gold more and more and more and more until people started realizing, oh, I don't have 1 ounce of gold anymore. I have 0.2 ounces of gold now because it's been cut so much. This is the manipulation that they've done over and over and over again for thousands of years, and people have to understand what we're dealing with and what's going on behind the scenes with the tariffs right now in the long run and what it's actually going to do. Also, too, in other news, I wanted to address this because I thought it was kind of, I hadn't really talked about it much, but I saw an article earlier today, and it kind of shook me for a minute because it made me kind of think about what's really going on in the United States now. And it was basically a quick discussion how it addressed how adults, grown, law-abiding citizens that have broken a law now by cheating or paying their way for their kids to get into college are now going to prison, while the states are now encouraging illegal immigrants and undocumented kids that are here to have free tuition to apply for. And I thought this was quite puzzling when I really looked at the narrative that we're looking at in the United States now. As you guys know, actress Felicity Huffman just agreed to a federal prosecutor yesterday to plead guilty to conspiracy to commit fraud. She was one of the ones that paid William Rick Singer $15,000 to alter her daughter's answers on the SATs. She now has agreed to basically 4 months of jail time, along with a $50,000 fine and a year probation. And I was like, wow. You know, hey, let me address this real quick. I do not condone cheating. I don't think it's right to cheat to get your kids into school. I don't think it's cool to bribe or any of that to get your kids into school. I'm not agreeing with that whatsoever. What I'm doing here is I'm painting a contrast picture here now to actually seeing what we have going on in the real world, where we have adults that are wealthy, that their children don't do quite as good as they need to on the SATs, and they can't get them into school because they're essentially a white male or a white female, and their school and their grades are not what they needed to be. So these parents cheated their way into college for their kids. And again, I'm not condoning that. What they did was illegal. I get that. And there's consequences to that. But then on the flip side of it, we now, as we see now, have billions of dollars over the last few years being spent, billions of dollars being spent over the last decade to fund and give free money and free education to illegal immigrants and undocumented kids that are in this country. I remember I saw an article a couple years ago, and it was quite baffling, and it was showing all these kids that graduated with these $150,000, $200,000 degrees. A lot of them, remember, when you get a lot of these grants and all these different scholarships, they cut you a check back at the end of the school year, by the way. I don't know if a lot of you understand that. When you get these really big grants, they'll give you a stipend. They'll say, hey, we're paying for your tuition, we're paying for your housing, we're paying for your food, we're paying for any essential cost you have as well. So they'll cut you an extra check if you haven't spent all the money. They'll cut you a check back for $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, $15,000 at the end of the year sometimes, depending on all the different things that you can apply for and you get approved for. Well, they were talking, they were interviewing all these kids, and they were saying, I graduated from Harvard, and I graduated from Brown, and I graduated from Duke, and I'm an undocumented immigrant. They were saying it blatantly in an interview. I mean, they were bragging about it. And then they were talking about how their education cost $250,000 and they had zero money out of pocket. They were talking about how their education cost $120,000 and they had zero money out of pocket. And they were interviewed. I mean, there were probably 15, 20 different kids they were interviewed on this. And it was quite troubling to me because as we see the American population go further and further and further into the multi-trillion-dollar student debt roll, I saw this and it was quite puzzling to me. Not because these kids got free education. That wasn't my problem. It was the fact that they were blatantly proud of the fact that they were here illegally, that they had not done anything legal here in this country from the very beginning, that they had no plan on doing anything legally here in the country. They wanted their free education, and they got it. And now we see all these individuals. Steven Sapazzo pleaded guilty to mail fraud and also conspiracy to commit fraud, and was basically caught paying $400,000 to bribe to get his white son, his Chinese white son, mixed national son, into college. They now have said that he's going to get an 18-month prison sentence. He's going to get a $95,000 fine, and he'll get a one-year probation after he gets out of prison after 18 months, and he's going to have to pay restitution to Georgetown attorneys for fees as well as their forfeiture. This is now 11 parents that have agreed to plead guilty and have their hearings later this month. So this is all the way down the line. I mean, it's parent after parent after parent after parent that are seeing all these consequences. consequences because their kids couldn't get into college that they wanted them into, and they paid and bribed their way in. But now we see Maryland starting the Promise Scholarship Program this year. New York, which passed legislation in January to give full aid to undocumented students, along with California, Delaware, Oregon, Rhode Island, Washington State, all offering full financial aid, grants, and scholarships to students who live in those states and are here illegally. These states are openly promoting their tuition-free programs to those very students and encouraging them to apply. The state application is alternative to the free application for federal student aid. Undocumented students are not eligible for federal student aid. Only state aid now if the state passes it. California's two-year system does not track undocumented students or ask them for their immigration status. But officials do track the number of students who read the state's non-resident tuition exemption. So I just kind of wanted to put a context on that and look at it from both sides on what we're living now here in the United States, where we have kids here that are not here legally, were never here legally, came in here illegally, and now have free tuition, free everything, which, again, if a state wants to do that. But then we have the polar opposite, where we have almost a dozen parents now that are pleading guilty, doing prison time. I mean, this guy's going to prison for 18 months. He's going to be a convicted felon now the rest of his life, not to mention he has to pay a fine and be on probation and has to pay restitution back to the university because he basically bribed his way into college. I remember he paid money to get his kid into college. All he did was pay money as far as to get him in. Other than that, he committed no crime. The individuals in the school that were bribed, that basically took the money, altered SATs, pushed numbers around, they were the ones that actually committed multiple crimes. All these individuals did was bribe people to get their kids into school, which is illegal, and I don't agree with. But understand on which the context we're living in now, where illegal kids that come here completely illegal are now being handed hundreds of thousands of dollars in scholarships simply for being illegal. They're being singled out because they're illegal, and they're being given special treatment because that are illegal and handed free college, while at the same time U.S. students are having their parents bribe them into college and if not absorbing massive money in student debt. So I just thought I would kind of bring that up today, Dad, because there's been so much talk about it. I haven't heard anybody talk about both contexts of those sides.
Okay, everybody listen to me for a second. I know a lot about this because I was a college professor for years. Here's the thing. I know a lot of you have children in school. A lot of you basically want to have your children in the best prep schools. A lot of you want to have your children in the best college preparatory classes, and that's important. And here's the deal, though. The entire system is skewed because of affirmative action. Affirmative action is probably the greatest scourge that's ever happened to the educational system of the United States. I mean, don't get me wrong. At one time, if you were black or Hispanic, you weren't accepted into a school system because you were black or Hispanic. That's wrong. That's no good. But now since the 70s, for the past 50, 60 years, you're not accepted into the school system with the highest grades because you're white. You're not accepted. Okay? So what we've done is we've created a reverse discrimination, which is what this is. And it's rampant in the university system. So Trump tried to negate some of this with his executive order, which had zero effect. What we have here is a system that is completely and totally out of control, because they're wanting you to believe that unless your child goes to an Ivy League school, that they're never going to be successful. That is a lie from the pit of H.E. double sticks. It's not true. 95% of the people in the United States, when they reach the age of 65, are financially dependent on an outside income source. About 3% are well off financially, 2% are wealthy. So approximately 5% of the general population is wealthy. I mean, they can pretty much have upward mobility. They can pretty much do what they want to do, go where they want to go, live where they want to live, buy what they want to buy, drive what they want to drive, that kind of stuff. The other 95% are financially dependent on Social Security or a pension. That's just the way the numbers are. Now, will you increase the likelihood that your child may have a better chance of becoming super successful if you go to certain schools? No. Will you increase the likelihood if they go in certain professions? Yes. I'm saying that with a big capital Y. Okay. Will you increase the likelihood if your child goes into some secret society like Skull and Bones, some satanic organization? Yeah, you probably would have a higher probability of that child being successful if they want to completely compromise all their moral values for the rest of their life and probably end up in hell. Yeah, that you probably would, because Lucifer is going to reward them for that because these people are diligently seeking him. Now, I can't be any more direct than this. This is as real as it gets today. All right? So what do you have to do about this? Okay, here's the deal. Number one, with your children, check with your local county and your local states to have what they call dual enrollment. Not all children belong in college. That's just a fact. Vocational school can teach a child how to have an air conditioning repair business or become a plumber or be an electrician. And a lot of these guys are making $200,000-$300,000 a year if they're running crews and doing new construction and doing repairs, et cetera, et cetera. Some of them can make, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000, which is still better than most school teachers are going to make. So you can have a really good income coming in through vocational school. And if you're smart and you can run your own business and you can have people working for you, you can multiply your efforts. So you never went to college, you went to vocational school. That's number one. Number two, if your children are inclined to go to college and they're smart, take the little brat aside, like I did my little brats, and say, look, here's the deal. I don't think I should have to pay for your college, but I'll try to help. But I want you to do everything you can. I want you to take your college entrance exams. I want you to study and really be focused on your school. And if you can get into the collegiate high school program or the dual enrollment program with homeschoolers in our state, I want you to do that. Because in 10th grade, you can pretty much start full-time college classes, like 11 hours, almost full-time, as a college student, and the state pays for everything. Now, here's the caveat. Make sure they're going to a fully accredited school, that the degree they obtain from that school is accepted into a major university. Avoid private schools because they're too doggone expensive. We have a local college here, local university here, to take one class for the summers, $3,000 for one class. It's a private Christian school. To go to the local state college here in town, which is fully accredited also, one class is $300. It's 10 times the cost. Do the math. So if you take 15 hours in the summer at this expensive school, you're going to have $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 tied up in your doggone tuition. It's just what's going to happen. You know, it's going to be $300 an hour. 10 hours is $3,000. Yeah, it's going to be $4,500 tied up in tuition. If you go to the local school, it's going to be like you know, $1,500. That's it. All right, and your books will be a few hundred dollars. So you're going to spend 3 to 4 to 5 times as much money going to a private school as you are to a local school, where you can see, where you take classes for $300, $100 an hour versus, you know, $300 an hour. So it's so important that everybody understands what's happening in the educational systems. So if you took 10 hours at the local university we have here, it would be $300 a credit hour, it would be $3,000. So it would be $4,500 versus the $1,500. It's three times the difference. So guys, understand the math on that. Now, if you can stay at home and live with your parents, you'll save $400 to $800 to $1,000 a month in rent and utilities. Okay? Plus you can eat at home. You don't have to be eating out in restaurants all the time. You can take your college degrees and get a college degree doing this for $4,000 to $5,000 for your bachelor's degree. And if you get the Bright Future scholarship, you can get even less than that. So this is how you need to do it if you're looking at school from an educational standpoint. And if your child says, I don't want to do it, I don't care about college, then why are you trying to make them go? Let the little brat work. Do whatever he wants to do. Let him go get a construction job for a few years. Let him do whatever he thinks he needs to do. Let him make a decision on it. And then tell him, I'm not in this loop. I told my 18-year-old daughter the other day, you know, I said, you know, you're not my responsibility anymore. I said, you know, you're not. I said, I don't have to pay for your school. I don't have to help you with your car insurance. I don't have to feed you. I said, you're not my responsibility. I said, newsflash. I said, so if you want to do what I suggest that you do, and I'm behind you in your educational process, I'll be happy to try to help support you on it. But if you want to go out and do your own thing and major in this year, major in that next year, major in this year, and not make A's and B's and make a bunch of C's or D's or whatever, I'm okay with that too. Just don't ask me to subsidize. Now, you heard me say Elizabeth Warren, the senator who's the biggest hypocrite we have in Washington right now, who puts down on her application to get into Harvard that she's an Indian, that she's got Indian blood, which is a complete and total bald-faced lie. She did it because of affirmative action. Because she couldn't get in as a white female, she could get in as a white Indian. White female Indian? There's an oxymoron. But that's what she's wanted to be, right? So that she got to go with is, you know, Pocahontas. You know, and it's ridiculous. Now, why isn't she in jail? Oh, that's right, because the statute of limitations expired on her lying. That's right, because, you know, it's not a, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years capital limitation on these different types of crimes. This woman is a career criminal. But is that her fault? No, because she should have been accepted into Harvard based on her grades and her eligibility scores, not based on race or on her sex or whatever. And this is what Austin's talking about. We have all of these people coming in illegally from across the border, and parents are so desperate they're bribing to get their children into these schools of their choices, thinking that this will make a difference in their life. And now the parents are going to prison for it while we have Hillary Clinton walking around free, Barack Obama, the gay Kenyan, walking around free, his transgender wife, you know, walking around free. Nobody even outing her as a transgender except for Joan River, who's dead a few weeks after she did that. We have so much perversion and so many lies coming out of Washington, D.C., it's hard to differentiate the truth any longer because these guys are a bunch of sickos. And again, they're all being controlled by the international banking cartels. The Babylonian money magic. That's like Austin said earlier. They don't see money as paper or gold. They see it as an energy flow, and they manipulate the energy flow through the ritual magic. You think, well, that sounds stupid. I didn't say it didn't sound stupid. I think it sounds stupid too. It's just what these sickos do. This is how these guys are wizards. They're warlocks. They're witches. They're the Podesta group. They're the soul cooking people. They're the ones who drink the blood. If you told me this 30 years ago, I told you that you were stark, raving, lunatic, insane, and somebody put you in a little short bus and put you in a little padded cell. But these guys are really that messed up. And that's the problem. Their perversion is at such an extreme that it's hard for normal people like us to go, I really don't want to believe that. How could you be so sick? That's just who these people are. These guys are a bunch of sick lowlife. It's who they are. It's what they are. It's what they've always been. It's always this same group of people. Now, on a more positive note, let's talk about Henry Ford. Let's talk about what he did. Let's talk about vertical integration of factories. Let me explain to you what that means. Ford had a dream. He built a complex called the Rouge, R-O-U-G-E, Rouge Complex. It's a Ford Motor Company automatic automobile factory, and it's near Dearborn, Michigan. It's on the River Rouge. And basically, it's right there in the heart of Detroit. Now, what's interesting about this particular structure, it's 1.5 miles wide. Are you getting this? And 1 mile long. That's how big this thing is. I mean, we're talking miles now as far as the size of the factory. It included 93 buildings with nearly 16 million square feet of factory floor space. It's with its own docks that were in the Rouge River. 100 miles of interior railroad track. Are you getting that? Its own electricity plant and an integrated steel mill, glass mill. It could take raw material. They would take raw iron ore, Austin, and dump it off the barges on the river next to the factory, bring in sand for glass, bring in rubber trees for rubber, and they would take this material and they would have it piled up outside, and every single thing would be used, and out would pop a Model T Ford. They made everything. That's what we can do in this country. That's called vertical integration of production. More than 100,000 workers were employed there even during the Great Depression. Now, what's interesting about all of this stuff is that Ford said, I've got to pay everybody a livable wage so they can buy my product. I want my 100,000 people working here making enough money, and he made the unions. He didn't know what to do because he was paying them so much money. He raised all the rates. All the other automobile manufacturers were flipping out because he was giving them a livable wage to buy their own product. Henry Ford's dream. I love Henry Ford. Great guy. And here he is building a Rouge complex like this, having to fight the unions, which were the communists, coming in trying to take everything over. And he built a giant, huge corporation from scratch that could take iron ore, sand, rubber trees piled up outside and create a factory car popping out the other side. Super efficient vertical integration. We don't do that anymore. It's called outsourcing. We found that we could take certain bot parts and we have it made in China cheaper, bring it back, or have it built in China. And this is what he was talking about on Paul Craig Roberts earlier. We need to bring vertical integration back. We need to bring these high-paying industrial jobs back into the United States. The corporations were allowed to take over. The banks were allowed to take over the corporations with their doggone it bead counters, B-E-A-N, bean counters, that basically do everything by the book and by the count – to in fact maximize profits for the Kabbalist bankers that run everything. That's just the truth. And so that's what they do. They say, well, if we have a seatbelt recall, we know the seatbelt's bad, it's going to cost us $150 million, or we can let X amount of people die, it's going to cost us $12 million. Go ahead and pay the $12 million, save the $138 million, let the people die. It's cheaper to let them die. That's how they think. You think, well, they shouldn't be that way. We're not in any, I'm not arguing with you. You're right. But that's what they do. This is what Monsanto did. Monsanto knew back in the 70s that its product Roundup, glyphosate, caused dozens of different types of diseases and cancers. It knew it. But it knew it could sell hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars in Roundup before the lawsuits would become so extreme they'd have to shut down the production. That's what they've done. And all these, I mean, Roundup's in everything. Glyphosate's in almost every food product now. Everything's contaminated with this junk. Why? Because greed. Because to you and me, we care about one another. I mean, I prayed for you guys this morning. I had the privilege of praying for you. They don't pray for you. They find out how to screw you and hose you and take your money and take your stuff away from you. That's all they care about. How to make you as diseased as possible and keep you alive so you'll continue to take the little bit of money that we've saved up and you'll spend it on drugs trying to stay alive a little bit longer. That's all they care about, is to extract every bit of production and money and net worth out of you until you die. And then you get to go. Then you get sucked into the funeral industrial complex, and you get to have your $15,000 funeral, which is absolutely another nightmare that people have to go through when someone dies. I mean, this is the kind of crazy stuff that people do all the time who are controlled by greed and avarice. And guys, it's sad because it shouldn't be that way. Also, to mention China. China is now basically saying that its social credit system has restored morality by blacklisting over 13 million people. I've posted this on the website. You can see it. It's from Breitbart. And there's a video of them walking through a train station or a transit area. And I can see in this one little photograph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 cameras videotaping everybody from every angle in this one little bitty photo in this hallway. That's what they're doing in China. That's what they're doing right now. I mean, San Francisco just vetoed this doggone cameras everywhere and doing all of this stuff. China's state-run newspaper, Global Times, revealed in a column defending the nation's authoritarian social credit system Monday that the communist regime had blacklisted 13.49 million Chinese citizens for being untrustworthy. I mean, how are they classifying untrustworthy? Guys, how do you classify untrustworthy? Is it because you go to church on Sunday morning? Is that why you're untrustworthy? You know, they're trying to shut the churches down in China, too. You're a Christian. We caught you. We caught you on a camera reading a Bible verse to a group. We caught you carrying a book that looks like a Bible. You're untrustworthy. And you say, well, what the heck, man? Are we untrustworthy because we read the Word of God? We don't believe in the Word of God. Never forget this, guys. This is so important. The China system came right out of the Soviet Union, right out of the Rothschild Kabbalist playbook. Remember that. The same communist system that almost destroyed Russia and caused the collapse of the Soviet Union through corruption, greed, avarice, and lack of productivity is the same Chinese credit score system based in communism that they were using with Stalin and in East Germany and with the Stasi police and everybody else. And guys, this same group came here to the United States in the 20s and the 30s and brought their same filthy stuff to us almost 100 years ago now and have done everything they possibly can to subvert us. The Rothschild banking cartel controls China. They've got a Rothschild-controlled central bank. Never forget that. It's Rothschild-controlled. The Rothschilds are doing what they need to do now and moving things around to give more stability to China. Nobody talks about all these trillions of dollars in bonds and government debt that the Chinese have bought from us over the years to finance our national huge expansion and the purchase of all their junk products. What happens if the Chinese decide they're going to go ahead and start selling all of our bonds and our T-bills and everything else and flood the market with, which they could do? It's going to collapse that industry. It's going to collapse all of that. Trump is playing a very dangerous game. And why is Trump playing this game? Let's have a real talk about that for a second. The United States is broke. It's broke. He can raise more taxes through the tariffs and indirectly tax us more because we have to pay the difference as far as the Chinese tariffs. It's all about extracting the last pound of flesh from what's left of the living America, the living United States of America, by the bankers. That's all this is. The United States government is stone cold broke. The corporation that is the United States that was formed in the 1870s after the Civil War is busted, it's kaput, it's broke, it's bankrupt. So everything they could possibly do now to extract more from you, including asset forfeiture, whatever they have to do, they're going to do. Why? Because they're still trying to feed a dead monster that they killed over 100 years ago. And then to make it even more efficient for them, they brought in their Federal Reserve Bank in 1913 to make sure they could do everything they possibly could through their fractional reserve banking that Austin discussed so eloquently earlier, and their Babylonian money magic to do what they've done to Rome and so many countries. That's why this same group of money manipulating wizards have been run out of so many countries over the last 2,000 years. Why? Because this is what they do. It's their nature. Austin, what do you think?
No doubt about it. That's exactly right. And a lot of people, I hear them, they go, oh, well, you know, the reason why all this stuff started going to China is because, you know, we were trying to keep the cost down for the consumer. That's a complete and total lie. If you even believe that, I have swamp property in Florida to sell you. The whole aspect of moving it to China and subs all this product manufacturing out was to increase their overall profits. That's why you have individuals now that are running these companies like Jeff Bezos that are worth $160 billion. And granted, I don't care about how much money somebody makes. You run a company, I don't even care how big it gets. You make as much money as you want. It's your company. But don't sit there and lie to me and say, we're doing all of this because we're trying to keep costs down for the end consumer. We're trying to save all you money. We're trying to do the best we can to keep it cheaper and cheaper when the product's not cheap at all. The Chinese crap we get now, the cheap, cheap crap, isn't any cheaper than it is from the United States half the time now. It's just the margins are that much higher because they can have the product made at a Nike factory in China or Indonesia for 25 cents an hour and then turn around and sell the shoes to you for $400 retail, which is what Nike does all the time, which is one of the reasons why I do not support that company at all, especially after that Kaepernick stunt and they poised him to be this Greek god on national television because he decided he wanted to kneel for the national anthem and he wanted to support the aspect of no respect for anybody in the United States while he's talking about oppression that he's feeling with his $50 million NFL contract. Yeah, that Kaepernick that NFL and the Nike made sure they paid $10 million to be the face of oppression, which is ironic considering the fact they paid 25 cents an hour to their employees to make their shoes. That whole debacle that we've seen going on over there is nonstop. So the aspect of sub-alling this stuff out and pushing it to other countries and exporting it has nothing to do with saving money for the general population. It's all about, again, that these bankers and these guys can make tens of billions of dollars and become insanely wealthy. I mean, you can't understand, guys. Yeah, think about that for a second. Your net worth is $160 billion. I mean, you start looking at houses that are insane. I mean, the other day I was clicking, when Dad and I were talking about it the other day, I was clicking on Zillow and I looked at, you know, highest to lowest houses in Palm Beach. Highest, most expensive, insanely priced house down in Palm Beach was $59 million. I was like, wow, that's insane. $59 million for a house. Of course, if you can buy it, you can buy it. And you have to deal with that $850,000 a year in property taxes. But you got that kind of cash. That's your dream. If that's your goal, I'm nobody to tell you not to achieve that dream and goal. But you think about when you start getting to the realm of $160 billion net worth, you know, $50 million house. You buy two of those houses. You got $100 million wrapped up. Okay. So you buy 10 of those houses. Okay. You got $500 million wrapped up. Well, I want 20 of those houses all around the world, $50 million houses, 20 of them. Okay. I got $1 billion wrapped up. Of what, $1 billion. So I have one 160th of my total net worth wrapped up in 20 houses that are $50 million apiece. That's the level you start getting at when you get that type of money. You just buy whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that, but understand, they made that money because they buy significant amount of Chinese goods. These are how these guys make this much money, because they have gone away from the Henry Ford American dream and subs all this stuff out and sent all the manufacturing overseas so they can increase their profit margin. Also, too, in other news, we're dealing with down here in Florida right now. This is interesting. Remember I told you guys I went to Daytona a couple weeks ago, and it was quite troubling to me because the entire population of Daytona for Jeep Week and pretty much everywhere in Orlando now, I told you I had another friend that I visited a couple weeks ago, he stopped in Orlando, Kissimmee, said the same thing. The population of Puerto Ricans in Central Florida has literally exploded like an atomic bomb on the state. Now, I have nothing wrong with Puerto Ricans. I know a lot of them. I see them a lot at the barbershop and everything else, nice individuals. And technically, they're 51 states, so they're here legally, so whatever. However, what I did see that was troubling is that, A, they refuse to speak the English dialect whatsoever. They'll intentionally speak Spanish or Puerto Rican to you while you speak English. 99% of them in Puerto Rico speak English, by the way. A lot of people don't realize that because they have family here in the United States. If they don't fully speak fully fluent English, they completely understand it. And they run around and wave their Puerto Rican flags in giant groups, 20, 30, 40 trucks, Jeeps, cars, run around with their Puerto Rican flags, brag that they're Puerto Rican, tell everybody how great Puerto Rico is, refuse to speak English, and continually rant about amazing Puerto Rico. My aspect of that is that's fine. Have pride about your country. I got it. But if it's amazing and it's that great, go back to Puerto Rico, quite frankly. It'd be like me going to Germany and running around with my American flag and ranting about how great America is and how Germany sucks and how everybody needs to learn what I know and how America's the greatest and America's this and running around with all my friends with American flags in Germany. Eventually, they're going to go, well, they probably won't now because they're so doggone politically correct with the Muslim invasion, but 10 or 15 years ago, they would say, Austin, you know, you and your friends from America, you know, y'all are chill. We don't mind you being here, but you guys really just need to go back to the United States. Apparently, you like the U.S. a lot more than Germany. Just go back with your American rhetoric all the time. And I said, oh, okay, let's go back to America. That's what they're doing here. Well, now, a federal judge in Florida has ordered 32 Florida counties now to provide ballots in Spanish only next year. The order is form of a preliminary injunction in a case brought by voters who said they were educated in Puerto Rico and lacked proficiency in English, which is total crap because every single Puerto Rican I know is fluent in English. They said compliance with the order is not an option. Chief Judge Mark Walker, the Northern District of Florida Gainesville Division, wrote in Friday ruling last week, the court will not hesitate to use every tool in the law to enforce this order. Judge Walker noted that Section 4 for the Voting Rights Act prohibits English-only elections for those citizens, yes, citizens that were educated in Puerto Rico in Spanish. So now we will have completely Spanish ballots at every single ballot box in Florida now for the next election because they don't want to have people coming here to this country assimilating to American standards. And that's what this all comes down to. You come here, they don't want you to have to assimilate in English. They don't want you to assimilate in the United States. They don't want you to actually have to assimilate into our way of life. This is all being done from everything from the illegal immigration to the free money they're giving to the illegals that are trying to go to college here to the entire aspect of the sanctuary cities and the sanctuary states. This is all being done through the Cloward and Piven strategy to bring down the United States and drop it to its knees. I don't care if you speak Spanish. That's great. I don't speak Spanish, but that's not my problem. That you speak Spanish, that's good for you. But now you're saying that every single county in Florida has to provide Spanish-only ballots because we've had 300,000 Puerto Ricans explode on the population of Florida last year because of the hurricane, and they don't have to learn English, so we capitulate to them and submit to them. That is an issue that I have, because when you start allowing a population and you start forcing a population to submit to another population that a very small minority, as they're growing larger and larger, you will realize in the future they will become the dominant majority and they will demand what you do for them because you submitted them in the first place, Dad.
You're absolutely right, Austin. English is the language of the United States, and Puerto Ricans speak English. This is not for the Puerto Ricans. It's for all the other people that are coming in from Africa, Central America, South America. Mm-hmm. They don't want to talk about that. They want to make it Puerto Rico because it's a 51st state. That's why they're doing this, and it's ridiculous. Oh, real quick, made a math there. I was running so fast talking about college. What would cost $1,500 for 15 hours at a local community state college costs $15,000 for the same amount of classes. It's $1,000 a credit hour versus $100 a credit hour. I was running through that so fast, I got my math confused, and I was thinking to myself, it couldn't be that far off. And then I thought, wait a minute, it is that far off. It's $1,500 to take summer classes at Polk State College. The same classes at the local Christian private university is $15,000. Now, think about that for a second. Full accreditation, either one. Which do you want if you're going into debt? You better take the $1,500 one. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Didn't cover much health stuff today. Hopefully, also can cover that in the next few minutes. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come into your homes every day. It means the world to us. And we're planning on getting something together down here that we have fully planned, fully organized, with full security. Kind of have to add that in there here in Central Florida in the next year. And so you guys let me know where you want to go. I imagine it's going to be some hotel in Orlando, and we'll come up there. We'll meet you guys, get you some good prices on some rooms, and then we'll have a group of people coming in to speak that pretty much are like-minded with what Austin and I think. You know, we'll bring in Doug, and we'll bring in Dave. We'll bring in Sheila, probably bring in Russ Dizdar, our coach, and we'll put together something for everybody here. Hopefully we can bring in Steve Quayle and really put together a good group of people that can really be a blessing to you guys. I love you. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting us. If it wasn't for you, we couldn't be here, and we certainly couldn't bring commercial-free shows to you. You mean the world to me. God bless you. I'll do the write-up off, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. Also, other news as well. More and more research continues to come out showing that MCT oil can alleviate dementia and Alzheimer's disease as other conditions affecting the brain function. We've talked about this repeatedly, but MCT oil is something that I've really, really been trying to push to a lot of people as they get older, especially family members that are trying to get supplements for individuals that are having side effects with dementia and Alzheimer's. The memory support is a really good formula. Cod liver oil and the MCT oil. Turmeric force as well. Those four are really, really important, but the MCT oil is showing really, really healthy benefits, especially on the fact of what it does for the brain, and it slows down the aging process of the brain. They said Alzheimer's disease makes it more difficult for brain to access glucose as fuel. The lack of food starves brain cells and causes them to die, but ketone bodies in the MCT serve as an alternative source of energy for the brain. They found that researchers administered an oral dose of MCT to older adults suffering from cognitive decline. They found the MCT treatment group increased the cognitive function of participants suffering from mild mental decline that often preceded dementia. And they said that on those doses, they needed to be about 4 to 6 tablespoons a day of MCT oil. So just a side note on that. Thank you guys for the support. Thank you for all the emails and everything you continue to do. Please feel free to sign up for our weekly newsletter. And we're doing a lot of new emails, a lot of new articles we're starting to send out every single day now, trying to get up with everything and really push a lot of the news, especially natural health news and supplements and food and dietary advice all the time now on there. So be sure to check out for that and sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you for everything you do. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.